Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 1080. I hope you're doing well and hanging in there. Let's just jump right in with the ID10T Community Corkboard. Events at ID10T.com is how you would get your thing listed on the ID10T Community Corkboard. This one is someone that I follow, an artist that I follow on Instagram named Jenny Bird Alcantara. She is one of the most amazing artists. Her work is stunning. I mean, like, stunning. And I follow her work because I'm a huge fan of it. And we've gotten to be kind of pals on Instagram. And she's just so nice. And I wanted to give her a shout out because, number one, her work is incredible. And number two, she had a show that was scheduled for this month. Today is July 10th, and I believe tomorrow is the last day of the exhibition. It went up at KP Projects Gallery in Los Angeles. But you can imagine the challenges of having an exhibition during a pandemic. So they sent me all the work in an email, and I have to say, it's incredible. And I was just looking at JPEGs, like, it must be mind-blowing in person. So please follow her, Jenny Bird Art, on Instagram, and she will become one of your new favorite artists. And she also said that she's going to do a print release on July 11th. So I think she'll post about it today on Instagram. On July 11th, for 48 hours, a limited edition release of a print release of one of the pieces of art from the show that she put up. And 100% of the net proceeds from all sales will go to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, the Transgender Law Center, specifically for Black LGBTQIA+, and the Migrant Project. So like I said, that's for the next 48 hours. So follow her on Instagram and enjoy one of your new favorite artists. But Jenny Bird, congratulations on your show. I'm sorry that the state of the world made it difficult for you to have the kind of gallery opening and show that you absolutely deserved. But it does not change the fact that your work is so moving and stunning and vibrant and incredible. So thank you for making it. And everyone else, go to Jenny Bird Art on Instagram. This episode is Ashley Eckstein, who I've been fortunate enough to have been friends with for many years. She created, revolutionized the sort of geek sphere of clothing industry and created a line called Her Universe. There was not a line of nerd culture clothing specifically for women before Ashley came along. And she just felt like, this needs to exist and I'm going to make this happen. And she did. She's an actor and a voice actor and a great voice actor. She plays Ahsoka Tano on The Clone Wars, which is on Disney Plus. And then, so like, as a passion project, built this incredible business around Her Universe, which again is a by fans for fans clothing brand. So she is just someone who is able to manifest something, things that she thinks should exist in the world. She has an incredible story, and this was just a joy to have her on the podcast. Very inspirational, particularly if you're someone who is looking to create something that's really important to you. Also, she wrote a children's book called I Am a Padawan, which is available now, and also is a really strong advocate for mental health awareness. So thank you so much to Ashley for not only being a friend, but also putting really wonderful and positive things into the world. One show note, this episode was recorded in April, and so there is a discussion in there about whether or not there's going to be a Comic-Con in San Diego this year, and at the time we didn't know, and then the sort of the physical Comic-Con was canceled, but as you probably know, but I'm just letting you know now, there is a virtual Comic-Con, so they are just doing the best that they can to, you know, get around a challenging situation. There is going to be virtual Comic-Con Wednesday, July 22nd through Sunday, July 26th. I did a few panels on it for the three Walking Dead shows, Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, and also a panel for Walking Dead World Beyond. So we have wonderful cast members on all those panels and things to announce, and it's going to be really fun. It's all going to be on Comic-Con's YouTube channel, which is YouTube/Comic-Con. And again, thank you to San Diego Comic-Con International for putting this together and still creating a wonderful virtual fan Comic-Con experience in light of the circumstances. There's still going to be hundreds of panels there for you to watch from the safety of your home. So there we go. That is the intro. And this is the ID10T episode number 1080 with Ashley Eckstein as we now roll the thing.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
Backdrop. Oh my gosh. Just like the perfect.
Oh, thank you. I have, you can't really see it. It's like a Alice in Wonderland. It's like a little heart chair. It's my Queen of Hearts entryway.
It is perfection. I mean, obviously, it's funny on a podcast to be like, look at that thing. But yeah. It.
You know what? I don't think you can see it. Oh, it's dark. But I have a Wonderland tea room in the back.
Oh my gosh. That is fantastic. If anyone,
thank
just
you.
For anyone and anyone who's listening and wondering what that is, it is Ashley has crafted a sort of a living diorama of Alice in Wonderland. How often do you put on the Alice in Wonderland dress and pose in front at the tea table and put like a hat on someone and a cat? Like, do you do the tea party?
You know, I have done several tea parties in my tea room, but it's funny because it started out as my home office. And that's where I worked out of every day. And then I eventually sold my company to Hot Topic, and they told me, they said, well, you know, you get an office and you can decorate it however you want. And I said, are you sure about that? And they were like, yeah, however you want. I was like, can I decorate it like Wonderland? And they were like, yeah, sure. And literally I turned my work office into the exact same home office. Like, it looks like you're walking into Wonderland. I might have an obsession.
Does her universe sell like an Alice in Wonderland dress? Because if it does, you should do the photo shoot in your tea room.
We've sold a couple of Alice in Wonderland dresses, and I might have designed them for selfish gain. I'm not gonna lie.
But that's the thing, is that there's so much to talk about with you because, I mean, just the idea of what you built is so incredible. And for anyone listening who just has an idea, they're like, you know, I feel like there's a gap where this particular thing doesn't exist that I wish existed, and then you just made it. I mean, not just, I mean, obviously I know it's more complicated than just, but that's the thing, is that most of that stuff, I would imagine you're like, oh, you know what else I would really like to have is X, Y, and Z. And so then you made those things for, I'm sure, yourself, but then also for other people. But really, was it just kind of a thing that you wanted to exist in the world for you?
You know, it started out as a simple search for a t-shirt, specifically a Star Wars t-shirt made for me.
Yep.
I had just been, you know, introduced and cast as the voice of Ahsoka Tano in Star Wars The Clone Wars. And all of a sudden, my life became immersed with conventions and events. And I've been a lifelong Star Wars fan. As you know, I know we've shared our love of Star Wars before, but I did what any girl would do, and I went shopping. You know, I honestly thought I could just go to a store and buy a Star Wars t-shirt, and I quickly ended up empty-handed. I ended up in the men's and boys section every time, and they said that literally when I asked about it, they said I should be happy with the men's size small because women and girls wouldn't buy Star Wars clothes made for them.
Oh my God, it's so grating to even hear that sentence, because especially because we know that the fandom is very equal. Like, it's not, when I was growing up in the 80s, nerd culture looked very different, but that was just in a pre-internet era when, people couldn't form global communities. And now it's like, it's everyone, you know, like it's not, yeah. it's not what it used to be. And thank God for that, because it's nerd culture is so diverse now, we get so many different things and characters and points of view and perspectives. And I'm glad that you, this was what, 2008 or nine?
It was, so I first started kind of poking around and asking about it and yeah, 2008, and then really got serious about it in 2009. So, you know, when people told me that, I mean, they literally told me that women would not buy merchandise made for them. And, you know, to your point, I knew that was wrong because I'd already been to Comic-Con. I'd been to several conventions at this point, several events at Disney World where, you know, they hosted Star Wars events, and I saw women and girls everywhere. And so I got the attendance numbers to the top five conventions around the world at that point in time. So I reached out to the convention organizers, got their actual attendance, and found out that 45% of all attendees at these conventions were women and girls, and that 85% of all consumer purchases were being made by women. So,
and no
one
had bothered to look into this before. No one had bothered to even, like, just these sort of blanket ideas of like, yeah, that'll never work. You're like, yeah, but I have real world data here. Like, not only my own experience, yeah. Here are the numbers. I have the numbers in my hands.
I built a business off of those two numbers because there was no research at all. Like, it's like they had completely ignored the female fan base. And in fact, I found out that a lot of the research was skewed to give them the answer they wanted. And maybe not necessarily the answer they wanted, but, you know, for example, I was sitting in a talk once, they were talking about action figures, Star Wars action figures. And they said, you know, we ask 200 kids, you know, 100 and, you know, 50 boys and 50 girls. Okay, well, it's already skewed at right. that point. And then they said, if you could only pick one action figure out of these 10, which one would you pick? And they would say, you know, Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Padme Amidala, Ahsoka Tano, you know, Captain Rex. Well, if you're asking that many boys, if they can only pick one, mm-hmm. of course they're probably going to say Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
But it doesn't mean they don't want Ahsoka Tano too.
Well, also, if we just, I mean, all we have to do is look at the history of Star Wars action figure collecting to know that people collected more than just one character. Like, we yeah. collected characters that were on screen for half a second. Like, how many cantina creatures did I have growing up? I didn't, you know, like, not, they didn't, like, ones that didn't even have lines, that didn't even, they just maybe just turned and looked and like, oh, I want that one, I want that one, I yeah. want that one. I mean, it's almost like they forgot how people buy action figures.
It was definitely, it was a stereotype that just wasn't true at this point, that they had just decided, you know, our society had decided that sci-fi fantasy was for men and boys and that it just wasn't for women and girls. And so, you know, when I got those statistics and I knew that I wasn't alone, I started just scouring the internet and scouring social media and reading message boards and chat rooms. And I read story after story of how women and girls were being bullied and being bullied terribly for just liking Star Wars. And they would try to have a conversation about Star Wars in a chat room, and the second somebody would find out they were talking to a girl, they would stop talking to her. So women would pretend to be men just so that they could have a conversation about Star Wars. This is just back in 2009.
Yeah, that's basically just a decade ago, like not that long ago.
Yeah.
It seems, I guess just because I've been in it for so long, but even that just seems like, really? Even just that recently? It was still, you know, but obviously, you know, there are certain sections of fandom that can be toxic. And this is, you know, just sort of one of the things about the internet is that a lot of times the loudest, most toxic voices sort of bubble to the top. But I think what we do know now is that those are not representative of the fan bases as a whole. It's a, seems to be a fairly small number of people who will devote the time and energy just to bullying or being toxic or, you know, being horrible. So at least I feel like that is the, that's the silver lining in all of it. It's like, yeah. And by the way, that small percentage of toxicity is across all sectors. Like every sector has its own layer of toxic bullies. that's just kind of the internet.
No, it's true. And I mean, even jumping around a little bit, this is something I've been very outspoken about even today is, you know, trust me, I'm not immune to the toxic bullying either. I've been viciously cyberbullied, received everything from death threats to every nasty thing you could say about somebody. I've received it and over stuff that's just not true. And, you know, I've experienced that. But to your point, I feel like the toxic fandom is still a small, like, minority compared to the majority of fandom that still is so good. Like, I walk into Star Wars Celebration, and it's truly that. It's just a celebration of people that just love it and love Star Wars. And, you know, the majority is still positive. But to your point, it's like the negative voices are the ones that rise to the top. And, you know, we don't always get to hear the beautiful stories. And, you know, I mean, like yourself, I've been on the front lines of fandom now since, I mean, I would say 2008. And every day I hear a story about how, you know, somebody's life was literally saved because of Star Wars or Ahsoka Tano. And then now just jumping back to her universe about how many women and girls, you know, it's like they can finally be themselves. Because they're, you know, we broke the stereotype. And, you know, I mean, you know, I feel like you, I've known you now for all these years, you know, like being a fan is not just a trend. It's literally like a part of your DNA. Like it's a part, yeah, of part who of you are.
Yeah, it's part of who you are. It's your friend group. It's how you socialize. And, you know, again, not to trivialize the bullying, because when it's happening, it's horrible. And no,
it's awful.
Into it, no matter how used to it you think you are. And especially for people, you know, and like what you were saying, and, you know, back then, especially for women and young girls who were like really putting themselves out there, you're kind of taking a risk when you put yourself out there, and then to get, you know, bullied and knocked down in that way, it's really, really, really awful. And so I really do, it's why I'm so thankful that there are, like you said, Star Wars Celebration, Comic-Con, different conventions, because when people can go somewhere in the real world and really see what the fandom is like and really feel the community and really see that, you know, in person, people are really cool and it's incredibly affirming. That's why I always encourage people. And that's why I've always encouraged people, you know, when Comic-Con started to get really popular and some of the proto nerds were like, well, I don't know, is it, there are too many fringe people? It's like, yeah, the more the better, because it just widens the net. And it also, you know, even if selfishly it means like, well, because there are more people, there are more dollars coming in, so there will be better content being made to service these larger fan base numbers. For all these reasons, I just feel like, yeah, it's better to experience it in real life, which brings me to my next question, which is, do you think, I've been trying to find out if San Diego is going to happen this year and Comic-Con, and I feel like, seems like it's going to be a difficult prospect to have it in July still, but I don't know. I don't know what they're exploring or what they're like, if there are digital things that they're exploring or if they're going to knock it to later in the year or what, but, you know, of course it will be understandable. But I really will miss it if it doesn't happen. But of course, again, completely understandable in context of what's going on in the world to risk getting 135,000 people together in a small space. Have you heard anything?
I haven't heard anything. And I think I've heard just what you've heard and kind of some of the same concerns. You know, it's... I'm hopeful and know we'll get back to what, you know, it once was, if not a new normal, but we'll get back to that.
Yes.
And I think what I've been so encouraged by, especially because we have new Clone Wars episodes on the air, is there's just been this huge swell of a community online. And I think part of it, because I definitely don't want to trivialize it as well, just, I'm so outspoken about, you know, anti-bullying and cyberbullying. To me, on our social platforms, it's always been a no tolerance zone. Like, good. We'll shut it down the second there's a comment that's not empowering or uplifting. If it is bullying in any way, shape or form, I will shut it down. And because we've set that tone, we're not immune to it, but for the most part, it's positive. And so we've had this like almost kind of like safe community online where people are coming and we're having kind of nightly Instagram lives and, you know, talking about fandom and our loves. It's almost like a mini online convention. And I think what's happening in the meantime, has been actually really beautiful. Like people just kind of coming together, a lot of talk about mental health, and, you know, the importance of talking about our mental health during this time. It's really been, you know, I feel like we'll get through this in the meantime, but yeah, hopefully I look forward to getting back to Comic-Con and Star Wars Celebration and, you know, what we know and love.
Well, I know, but that's why it's so important and appreciated that people like yourself are really flying in the face of all the negativity and the toxicity and making an even more concerted effort to be a positive voice, you know, on the internet and in fandom and just for people in general who are, you know, feeling isolated now or, you know, or anxious or who have a difficult time having a healthy relationship with the news and media and are just intaking the worst. I mean, you know, what I'm seeing a lot in the headlines is new study says that, you know, and then it has a worst case scenario. And then you'll read and you'll go, oh yeah, but that's, it was a wide study and yeah, that was the worst case, the absolute worst case scenario if everything goes wrong, but that was your damn headline, you know? So yeah. And a lot of people don't read past the headlines. And so it really is a time where I think we have to make concerted efforts to bring, like, seek out positivity in our lives, seek out uplifting things, take a break from the negative. You can be informed and not poison yourself at the same time. So yeah. I think it's good that you're doing these chats because I know that people look to you and I know that they need it and appreciate it.
Well, I started something about a year and a half ago. We call it Mental Health Monday. And every Monday, there's a post dedicated to mental health. And it's everything from, it could just be an inspiring quote to advice to actual information, like to crisis hotlines. And it's been very important to me to just be a voice mm-hmm. for it. And it started truly when I was cyberbullied. Like, you know, I was bullied as a kid, but that was pre-cyberbullying.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was cyberbullied that, you know, and it was over something that just wasn't true. There was no truth to it whatsoever. And I had a ton of people on my side behind the scenes that were supporting me, that was there for me. But you know, when you receive that level of hate just coming at you for so long, it messes with your head. Like it really does. And I remember, you know, in the middle of it all, I was actually on a book tour and I went to Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. And they had just broken ground on the first in our nation, the first behavioral health pavilion dedicated to kids and teens on a children's hospital campus in the nation. So what that is it's basically the first hospital like dedicated to mental health yeah. for kids and teens. And the reason that's so important is, you know, 50% of lifelong mental illness presents itself by age 14. And the second leading cause of death for kids age 12 to 19 right now is died by suicide.
Oh my God. That is
the second leading cause of death.
That's horrifying.
And this hospital, they partner with Big Lots. It's called the Big Lots Behavioral Health Pavilion. Big Lots donated $50 million. And they said that it couldn't be done because they said there's no money in mental health, which is true pretty much, you know, kind of up to this time. It's that's why there's not enough support, is there's not money in it. And they just decided, they said, we need to break the stigma and we're going to be the first to do it. And so they're basically creating a blueprint to hopefully pass around to other hospitals around the nation so they can build this for kids. But the reason I'm sharing this is I showed up to do a book signing for the kids at the hospital right in the middle of when I was being cyberbullied. And here I was thinking I was going to help the kids, but I showed up completely broken. Like just completely broken. And they gave me so much help. And I thought, you know what? I'm an adult and I have all the support in the world and it's really messed with my head. I can't imagine how kids feel if they don't have the support or they don't know that they can reach out to someone. No wonder the second leading cause of death, you know, among kids 12 to 19 is suicide. So at that moment is when I decided to speak up. I said, and I knew that it was a problem in our community too, in our fandom community. And I said, I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I'm learning myself, but gosh darn it, I'm a voice. I'm going to talk about it. Our mental health is just as important as our physical health. We need to talk about it.
Well, yeah, but also, I mean, it's just one of the reasons why I'm such a fan of yours is that it's wherever you see something that's not, something that you believe should exist, but does not, you manifest it, you make it happen. And, you know, whatever it is about how you were able to sort of re-express all these things into something positive and something useful. Have you always been that way? I mean, it's not, is it a learned trait? I mean, I guess I'm asking because a lot of people feel, particularly now, helpless, or they feel hopeless, or they feel like they're not being heard, or they're being told that, you know, their ideas are worthless or they are worthless or whatever. And just giving people the tools to say, to obviously, you're not going to not feel those things when they happen at you, yeah. But then the tools to say, okay, how do I take this and how can I make something good out of it? Or how can I create something that helps other people? Or how can I, you know, what are some of the tools that you've learned that people might be able to extract and use for themselves when they feel, you know, and I'd imagine most people have felt that way at one time or another.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm sitting here in my Alice in Wonderland area. I've always loved Alice in Wonderland and I've loved the phrase curiouser and curiouser. And I've always just been very curious. Like I was that person that just asked the questions. And then if I didn't get the answer I wanted, I said, well, why not? And I think that like curiosity combined with, and I joke, I say that I suffer from chronic naivete because I can be naive at some points, not foolishly, but for some reason, I just don't see all the brick walls and the roadblocks ahead of me. I see the end goal. And I just say, well, why not? Because that's going to help people. So why aren't we doing this? And I think not knowing some of the roadblocks ahead has actually helped me. Because by not knowing it, I just keep going. Like I just keep like trailblazing and saying, well, we got to fix this. We got to talk about mental health. So let's just keep going.
Yeah. So, you weren't in a position to talk yourself out of it by going, oh, that'll never work because of X, Y, or Z, because I have so much experience in this area. Yeah. I do feel like people sometimes can get, you know, sort of caught up in, I don't know. I think they're just sort of like convenient, like maybe they were roadblocks that were set up at a certain time. And then people just sort of put their autoresponders on and go, well, that's how it is now. Well, is it really? Have you investigated it lately? Do you know for a fact that it can't work? Do we have tools now that might make something work that didn't work 5 years ago? You know, so that's a really great point, is asking the question, why not, being curious, figuring out, you know, if we were going to make it work, what would that look like? I mean, that's the best place to start. And it really, that kind of curiosity can really help also distract yourself from all of the internal crap that you feel, you know, because you're kind of looking outward instead of attacking inward.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And also you really have to listen to people. Because oftentimes, well, I would say very few times, it does no mean no. I feel like a lot of times, all we hear, if somebody tells us no, we shut down and we say, okay, well, that didn't work. But you got to keep listening for the but. Because usually when somebody says no, they say no, but. And it's, they have a reason. And, you know, going back to when I started Her Universe, Lucasfilm told me no twice. When I went to them and I said, hey, I want to start a merchandise line for female fans. And they told me no. But they didn't say no to my idea. They said no, but. And they said, because we only work with reputable companies and we only give out licenses. So I kind of took a step back and I said, okay, well, they didn't say no to my idea. I just need to start a company and I need to apply for a license. So I think it's really just keeping your ears open to say, are they really saying no? Am I really being shut down? Or are they saying no, but, and then what do I need to do to fix it? And also I want to give you major props here because going back to being curious is you just got to ask questions, like just keep asking questions. And, in the very beginning, when I was just getting up off the ground, we actually worked together and, we got to create merchandise together and we went on the road for Course the Force together, but I was such a small company, Like, I don't even know if you realized at the time, the opportunity that you gave me to work with you and your company, like what that meant, like to me and even for my company, like, you know, just giving someone the opportunity absolutely allowed me to take a huge step in the right direction. And, you know, part of it is just asking the question and saying, hey, can I work with you? And sometimes you'd be surprised what people say. And I just want to thank you for your kindness because you absolutely changed the course of my business.
Well, what you were doing was so great and fresh and needed, and it had such a great perspective. And also, you know, you are just so nice and just a good human being. And, you know, on top of that, I saw you also as a really great community leader because I didn't see you as someone who was approaching this as like, oh, how can we get these nerd dollars in here? It was, you obviously cared about what you did, and you could see if you were on the Her Universe email list how much it felt like you were part of it. Like you made people feel like we're all in this together. You know, here's some people from the community. Here's what some of this stuff looks like. Here, you know, it was so personal that I always saw that as really important because it, especially with this demographic, this subgenre of content, you know, it's so easy for big companies to take advantage of it because they see dollar signs. And so when you meet someone who is an authentic fan, it's sort of like, we're making stuff by fans for fans. Mm-hmm. I really care about this stuff as much as you. You're in the demographic of the stuff you're making and you really care. That's really important. I think it's really important for our community because then we're insured that we're not getting taken advantage of by some. I mean, ultimately, there's a big company behind most stuff as things start to scale up because it's just difficult as a person to manufacture things on a wide scale by yourself.
Yeah.
But at least if you can, at least if you're the soul of it and you can inject that amount of authenticity and that amount of compassion and empathy and, you know, all those things are really important, in our consumer culture to have real humans connected with things, with brands and stuff is, I think, vital.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And that actually, to me, is the secret to the success we were able to have is because from day one, when I started my company, I said, Her Universe is two parts. It's a merchandise line, but more importantly, it's a community. Mm-hmm. And I said, the community must always come first and it must always guide us. And it did. It always guided my decisions. And, you know, of course it was a business. Of course I had to find a way to make money, but I figured if I did it for the right reasons that that the money would be there, that if we created a community. And really, I founded my company on anti-bullying. I was tired of women and girls being bullied for just being a girl and liking Star Wars. And so I, you know, that was really my why. I feel like, you know, we often talk about what is your why. You know, I feel like as long as you stay true to what your why is, and my why was, you know, changing the stereotype and making it a safe and positive community for female fans. And so they weren't bullied. And, you know, my why with mental health is, you know, for all of these fans that share with me their stories of, you know, anxiety and depression, and they've contemplated suicide, and, you know, and the fact that they don't feel comfortable to talk about it. My why is really goes back to our community. And I feel like, as you know, that's what's guided me. And that was our secret. And I feel like companies that only focus on the money, sure, okay, it'll take you to a place. Like, you, sure, you may go far, but it's, I think it's a sprint. There's a sprint and a marathon. Mm-hmm. Companies that only focus on the money, they may win the sprint, but they won't win the marathon.
Right. And then also, you know, at the end of it, how fulfilled do you feel? You know, I mean, Someone can make all the money in the world and be dead inside and empty, and it doesn't, because they're not a part of something that's bigger than themselves, or they're not, you know, like a real piece of the world or any kind of a community. And so I've always thought of, you know, of everything as like, you know, we're not creators in the sense that we're just creating for ourselves. We are community people. Like, we're community builders, and, you know, and if you like this community, great. If not, the internet's a big place, and there's a community for everyone. You know, you don't have to like this thing. You don't have to like everything. And it is that idea of like, hey, this doesn't have to be for literally everyone in the world. It can be for the right people that connect with it. And that's perfect the way that it is. So, you know, it, especially now, community is so important, because we don't have the luxury of, like I was saying earlier, experiencing go to a Comic-Con in real life. Well, we can't do that at the moment. So these types of communities online, where we really are conversing, and this is why social media is so tricky, because social media doesn't foster in-depth conversation per se, unless you're live streaming. But I mean, just like quick little posts, you know, 240 characters or whatever, a little post on Facebook or in Instagram. It's like, how can we adapt to this world that's new normal right now and still connect when we're a little limited, you know, the way that we used to? So besides the Instagram chats, how else are you connecting with people?
Well, that's a great question, because I am such a people person. So, you know, this is tough for me right now, you know, pretty much only having, you know, Instagram chats or, you know, social media posts. You know, I'm trying to take the approach of, you know, we need connection now more than ever. So when you think of someone, call them, mm-hmm. call them or text them. It's awful to feel lonely and invisible. And sometimes you never know, it can make the world of difference to somebody to just make them feel seen and heard and visible. And it can just be as easy as a phone call or a text. I mean, the other thing, and I don't know how to do this per se, you know, I often say people smell fraud from a mile away. And, you know, I mean, I feel like I connected with you, because I could tell instantly just how genuine you were and how genuinely you love what you do. And that was so evident. And I feel like now more than ever, we just need to try to be our genuine selves, because people connect with that. And for me, the only, what guides me on how to be like the best, most genuine version of myself is I still have to sleep at the end of the night. I have to put my head on the pillow at the end of the night and sleep well. And I can't sleep well if I haven't treated others with kindness and, you know, treat others as you want to be treated and done the right thing. And, you know, your conscience is your guide. And I feel like, you know, it's, I often call it your superpower. I feel like our gut and our conscious is our superpower. We all have it. We all have the answers. It's just whether you choose to listen to it or not.
Right.
And I feel like if we can be the most genuine version of ourselves and just connect with people right now, you're going to see a lot of kindness and a lot of positivity come out of this very sad time.
And now we take a brief pause to thank the sponsor for this episode of the ID10T podcast, Raycon Earbuds. So earbuds are just a part of our lives now, you know, because we're on our devices, we're listening to music, we're on phone calls. More people are home at once now. So if you're on your computer or you're gaming or whatever, you probably are wanting to keep sound from bleeding into other people's sound and their sound from bleeding into your sound. And so, Raycon earbuds are just a great solution for that. They're fantastic wireless earbuds that, by the way, start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands that you know. The newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are the best ones yet. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. I have a pair in my hands right now. The case opens and closes very securely. And also, I have difficulty getting a lot of earbuds to fit properly in my ears, but they come with those adjustable little rubber ends that you can change the sizing. And Raycon actually, the earbuds had a size that fit my ears, so they lock right in. It just sort of creates this real wonderful isolated wall of sound, and they sound fantastic, and they're incredibly comfortable as well. Celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Melissa Etheridge, Brandy, they all swear by their Raycons. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon earbuds. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com. That's buyraycon.com/ID10T. And using that URL, you will get 15% off your new pair of Raycon wireless earbuds. And now we rejoin the ID10T podcast, already in progress. I love the focus on mental health because especially, I mean, look, you even take a percentage of, you know, our percentage of trolls and bullies online. Of course, there's going to be a sliver of them that are just like chaotic anarchists. They just want to watch the world burn and that's just it. You know? But I know that if there were more focus on mental health, if mental health was more accessible, or it could just permeate a bit more, like mental health tools, a percentage of those trolls, a non-zero number, a considerable percentage of those trolls could get the help to help them deal with, express, or give them tools to not lash out, to you know, maybe have some empathy for themselves in a way, you know, like that. I just think it helps everyone. It doesn't, you know, like, and that to me is the hope that everyone gets the kind of help that they need. Again, I hope it does not sound like I'm defending trolling. I'm not at all.
No.
A lot of those are human beings who, and a lot of them might need help and are desperately crying for help in a toxic way. And how can we reach out to, how can we make stuff available? Sort of like this hospital you're talking about in Columbus sounds amazing. Like, can we sort of get this stuff at an early age so that it doesn't take root and fester, so that by the time people in their late 20s and 30s, you know, they have to do a bit more work to sort of unpack and, you know.
Yes. Well, and that's exactly it. So going back to what you're first saying, because no, I 100% understand what you're saying. You're not standing up for bullies, but the bully is often the one that was being bullied. Or they'll say the bully was often the victim originally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you don't, like the phrase, you don't judge someone until you've walked in their shoes. Well, oftentimes, you know, the bully has, they've had a pretty awful walk. And so now they're lashing out, to your point. But I was just blown away with what Nationwide Children's Hospital is doing in the Big Lots Behavioral Pavilion. So that the stat that I shared earlier that, you know, 50% of lifelong mental illness presents itself by the age of 14, you know, I'm supporting mental health for all ages. You know, it's not just kids and teens. But what that showed me is that if we can catch it early, think of how many adults you're saving. And sure enough, I've got several family members that are really struggling with mental health right now. And they were like, well, it started when I was 14 or 15 or 16, and I didn't get the help I needed. And, you know, we could help so many people if we catch it early. And it's not just the, you know, the one suffering, it's the whole family. I mean, you know, just like we get the coronavirus or we get a cold, our brain gets sick. And it's, you know, it's not like a lifelong thing. It's, you know, something that you can work on and get better. And you may struggle with it off and on, but it's, you know, it's something that we should talk about our mental health as commonly as we talk about the coronavirus.
I mean, it's, you know, especially even just the idea that it destigmatizes seeking help or destigmatizes it for young people so that they don't feel ashamed. Like, oh, because of course, when you're a kid, you just want to fit in because you want to feel a part of something and you don't want anyone to turn and go, you're stupid. What? I am? Oh my God, what? You know? And so the idea that if young people know that it's a very normal thing, the same way, like going to the gym, you know, or, you know, like the food that you eat, whatever. It's just as common as all of those things. Yeah. Mental health, of course, you know, especially now because our brains are just crowded with all of the stimuli that we're cramming in that, you know, the internet culture, computers, phones, everything, social media, it evolved way faster than I think than our brains could have caught up with. And so even just that much stimuli, I think, creates a mental health concern because we're all processing too much information at once. And so it needs to be exactly like you said, as normal as anything, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously that takes work, but it's important that, you know, people like yourself or people like Will Wheaton or people, you know, people that we know in common that are very open about mental health allow other people to go, oh, okay, so I'm not broken. I just a thing that I can talk about and work with, and you know. But then I need access to the help, so it's good. When does this facility in Columbus open?
You know what? It actually just opened.
Oh, fantastic!
So I was able to go to the opening and dedication literally like 2 weeks before our nation was shut down. So I was there just in time. And I mean, it's a gigantic hospital. I mean, it's massive. And it's a crisis center as well, and an emergency room just for mental health. Like a whole hospital dedicated to it. It's literally like I cried walking in it because, like I said, it's something that, you know, my family struggled with. We've had several instances, and you just, you know, oftentimes you feel hopeless, like there's no help out there for you. And here I was in this hospital. They gave us a tour, and I walked into this emergency room where if your kid or teen is in serious crisis, you can take them. Just like you would take them if they, you know, broke their arm. And it's we need hospitals like this in every state.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And the thing that's so insidious about when it starts to go bad is everyone it's the identification process. You know, everyone feels sad at times. Everyone feels insecure at times. So it can be difficult for someone to identify, like, I'm having a bad day or a bad week, or, you know, I lost my job, or I just got out of a relationship, so I'm having a little bit of an extended period, versus like, this is a real thing that I need to, but even with those instances that are more temporary, this is why I feel like it's great if everyone just had access to therapy or a mental health care professional, someone that they could check in with regularly. They could go, you know what? This is just a thing, you know, this feels temporary. This would be, or, hey, you know what? Let's just keep talking. Let's talk. Let's talk every week and sort of check in and make sure and just keep, we'll just keep an eye just in case.
Well, and neglected mental health can turn into mental illness, or in my case, I mean, I'll be outspoken about it. I, after being cyberbullied and while, you know, running a company at the same time, I internalize stress, and I didn't realize that I was doing that. And I internalized a ton of stress, and it wreaked havoc on me physically. So mental health can have physical side effects. So for me, I was up to 25 consecutive migraines a month.
Oh my.
And like day after day after day. And it turns out it was I was internalizing all of my stress. And so, so something as simple as I needed to learn how to cope better with my stress, maybe some breathing exercises or something that I could have done, I let it compound and compound and compound to where all of a sudden I have 25 migraines a month and I'm like, what is wrong with me? And it started with stress.
Well, also, I feel like anxiety sort of does this thing where it kind of, I've thought about it for years and years and years. You know, why do these things happen? Is there sort of like a, not a consciousness behind it, but like, what's the reason, you know, like, and I wonder, you know, when you have anxiety, it sort of attacks the weakest part of your body, like whatever that is. And for me, for the longest time, it was my back or my stomach. I thought I had stomach ulcers all the time. And then I would wonder like, well, is part of the side effect of this because my body is like distracting me from, like my body is distracting me with pain from my emotional pain, you know, it's like, it, but then also just stomach acid production and the tension and all that, it really does manifest like real physical issues that when unchecked can really mess you up in the long term and lead to a whole host of things. But anxiety is a great mimicker. It can mimic so many different symptoms of things. That it's really good to just have access to someone who has a perspective that's outside your head that can say, you know, you're going to be okay. This is, you know, here's, let's talk about this. Let's just get it out. Let's identify it. Let's be mindful of it. Even that can have such profound effects on people.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like you understand this as well. Being, you know, so much in the limelight, like being on kind of the front lines of things sometimes, you know, I feel very privileged that people trust me and come up and talk to me. I went on a nationwide book tour and I was shocked how many people would come up to get their book signed, but they use that opportunity to like in quiet, they would like whisper, they'd be like, thank you so much. What you're doing has really helped me. I struggle with anxiety and I just wanted to let you know, thank you. And after I went on the book tour for 6 weeks, after that 6 weeks, and I had stories like that every day, I said, this shouldn't be a secret. Like, I feel honored that these people feel safe enough to share their stories with me, but they shouldn't feel like it's a secret. Like, we got to talk about this. And so that's really what opened up my eyes. And from then on, I was like, well, I'm not an expert, but I've got a loud voice and I'll just talk.
It is incredible that it, you know, this all sort of came from the fact that you're a performer and we're working on a show that you liked. And then it just unlocked all this other stuff about you that you know, like every step you took was about you being more uniquely yourself. You know, initially it was about pop culture stuff and then it became about mental health. And so the idea that you're able to sort of be publicly as much and embrace you as possible has to be therapeutic for you as well, I would imagine, right? That you get to, that you feel comfortable being open about who you are, about the things that you like, and also the things that you go through in hopes that other people will be able to connect with it. That has got to have helped you as well, I imagine.
Oh, it definitely has. I mean, when you get these comments and you see that, like by you being open, how it's truly helping people, it makes you want to just keep going. And I mean, I will say for me personally, something happened recently and I'm not going to lie, professionally, it was very sad and frustrating. Like I just took a day. I just took a day off and I just had a bit of a pity party and it was just, you know, I was just kind of, I checked out of the world for the day. And I was looking on social media and honestly just crying and, you know, just having a bad day. And I posted a fortune cookie from Star Wars: The Clone Wars that said, "Never give up hope no matter how dark things seem." And I just posted it because that's how I was feeling at the moment. I didn't even put a caption with it. I just posted it. And everyone started commenting. And then there was this kid that I don't even know. They've never commented before on my pages. Cause I usually read the comments. I see a lot of the same people. It was a new kid that I had never seen before and just wrote like two paragraphs about how he's been watching me on, well, his name's Sammy. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. I think it's a boy. But he's been following me on social media for a couple months now, and how he was contemplating suicide, and just solely from my Mental Health Mondays and Instagram posts, decided to not do it and to save his life. And here I was crying, and I'm just like, I instantly stopped. I was just like, okay, well, that's what it's about. Like, right. It's not about, you know, oh, I didn't get this or I didn't get that. No, it's about, we have a platform and it's, we're able to truly make a difference in people's lives. And when you get messages like that, it puts everything in perspective. It's totally. Just like, okay.
Yes. Because when, you know, when things go sideways, like the way that the world has gone sideways, right? Yeah. Now, it does shrink your world into sort of like, what are the most important basic things? You know, I'm still here. I still have a voice. I still am able to connect with people. I still can, you know, put positive things into the world. You know, I'm here. My family's here. Like you sort of forget all those other things that seem so important. Yeah. When you kind of get caught up in ego stuff or, you know, in the pursuit of, you know, whatever it is that you're pursuing. Oh, I didn't get this thing. I really wanted it. I really, you know, and then like, yeah, you see something like that and you're like, oh, no. This is what's important.
Yes.
The thing's fine. It's a nice distraction. All the sort of, you know, all the sort of external stuff, the career stuff or whatever. But this is actually, these life things are really, really the most important things, you know. Who am I? How am I connecting with people? What's going to be here after I'm not here anymore? You know, how have I contributed? All those things.
Yeah. Well, and if I can share one last story with you about that. So I was a full-time actress in LA years ago. That as a kid, I knew I wanted to be an actress. And I was told by a teacher that I could only do one thing. That if I wanted to be an actress, I had to give up all my other aspirations. And I always loved fashion design. I always loved creating. But, you know, I believed my teacher. And my teacher said, if you want to be an actress, you have to solely do acting. And so I did. And I picked acting. I went to an acting conservatory. Then I moved to LA and pursued film and television. And I was perfectly happy with that. Like, I was fine just doing acting. And then I met my husband, and he used to play baseball.
David.
And yes, David, he says hello, by the way.
Tell him I said hello. He played professional baseball for the San Diego baseballing team. The Padres, right? Is it the Padres?
Yeah. Yes, Padres. Good job. Hey, at least you didn't say sports ball. A lot of people say, yeah, your husband, he plays that sports ball
thing. He was
a
catcher?
Shortstop. And then second base.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm really not a put on. It's all good. I'm bad with this stuff.
No, it's all good. And there's no knowledge of baseball needed for this part of the story. But, you know, in his career, he got injured. He had a series of injuries and he was traded to the Toronto Blue Jays. And so I needed to be with him because I had to go with him to all of his doctor's appointments and really, you know, help him get healthy again. And I found myself in Toronto and my agents and managers all dropped me. They said, you know, if you're not in LA, that means you're not making us money. And if you're not making us money, that means you're no good to us. I quote, literally, I had a manager that told me that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I found myself now, and I had a pretty successful career in LA in film and television. And I found myself on my couch in Toronto with nothing. Like, I was still the voice, and it wasn't nothing. I was still the voice of Ahsoka Tano, but Ahsoka wasn't out yet. Like, it hadn't been announced yet. And it just, you know, I think of a time like right now where everyone is either like being furloughed or being fired or losing their jobs, and they're sitting at home feeling like they have nothing. And I was at that place. I had nothing. Everything that I had worked for my entire life was gone. But that's when I had the idea about her universe. That's when I started doing my research and, you know, brainstorming of like, hey, this doesn't exist. Maybe it should. And so I would encourage everyone, you know, as we're sitting at home, we have nothing else to do except be curious. And I would say, be curious about like, what are you most passionate about? What do you want to do? If you don't get your job back, well, okay, you're at a new path. Maybe the path is now you can go this way or that way. Which way do you want to go? Go this way. It's, you know, when a door is slammed, I do believe a window opens. And I feel like we can all relate to that right now. And, you know, for me, one of the biggest blessings of my entire life started from my couch when I was absolutely heartbroken.
I completely understand that. And I have a very similar story about why I started the podcast. It was like a job. It was a similar situation where I thought I was going to get some TV job that I thought was going to change my life. And at the last minute, the door slammed and the windows didn't open. They all shattered. And I thought, well, this is it. That was my, you know, you kind of have these unrealistic, oh, that was my last opportunity. I don't know when I'm going to get another, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of days later, I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm just going to start a podcast. And then, of course, the podcast ended up becoming like one of the most significant personal things I've ever done.
Yes.
And if I had gotten that job, when I look back, I realized, oh, that job was for someone else. Probably would have been relatively soulless. I made something that was so much more of an exploration of who I am and what I care about. Now, it's not that I would have sought out that pain and rejection, but it happened. So in the wake of it, what do I do? And we can, to a certain degree, choose how we react to things in the long run. Obviously, you're going to have knee-jerk reactions to things, but ultimately what you do, you know, with some exceptions, you can make choices about how you take something and then react to it. So I do hope that during this time, when people are just going through this sort of abject horribleness that they might be going through, that doesn't mean that they're out. It doesn't mean that the story's over. It just means that maybe that's the end of that chapter, but there's another chapter to be written, and the end of the story hasn't happened yet, and it can still have a happy ending and probably a better one.
Yeah. I always say the only person that can truly write your story is you. You have the power to write your own story. Sure, other people are going to play characters throughout your story and impact it. But at the end of the day, you're the only one with the pen or the keyboard.
it still works. No, it totally.
Yeah, yeah.
It totally still works. But that's why, I mean, listen, it's, you and I are so on the same page with all this stuff. So, you know, it is a lot of positivity talk, and I feel like it's necessary though I don't know. I feel like I want to be a cheerleader for people sometimes. Just say like, I know it sucks right now, but just stay in the game. Cause you know, like anything can happen still. Like it's not, you know, and I want that for people because I know there were, you know, when I was young or when I lost that job or whatever, like it, I needed that then. And I wanted to, so I want to be that for people sometimes and just say like, it's not, don't write yourself out yet. You know, like anyone who's gone on to do something that was so incredibly fulfilling thought at one time or another, like, well, I guess this is all it. It's just a pile of crap now and it's all over and couldn't have envisioned, because when you're in the depths of it, when you're in the depths of crap, it's sort of hard to envision like something good could happen to you, or I could be at the top of my field, or I could help all these people, because you just don't have something to compare it to in the moment. But it doesn't mean that it can't happen.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I, you know, becoming the voice of Ahsoka Tano for Star Wars changed my life. It truly just changed my life for the better. And to me, she represents hope. Like, this character has become such a light in the Star Wars universe. And I mean, in Rise of Skywalker, she guides Rey and says, you know, let the light guide you. And Ahsoka says, as it guided us. And she truly, you know, lets the light guide her. And, you know, in the final season of the Clone Wars, I mean, you want to talk about dark times. I mean, it's Order 66. It's literally the darkest of times when all hope is, you think, is gone. Like, there's literally no light in what's going on. She still finds the light. And, you know, it sounds cheesy to say, but I know you understand this because we were in the same fandom and have so many of the same passions. But I literally ask myself once a day, what would Ahsoka do? This fictional animated character, I ask myself, what would Ahsoka do? Because I feel like she would do the right thing, and she would always find hope and light, even in the darkest of times. And so, you know, I think we all, that's why we love these stories so much, is we like find these characters or these stories that just provide us that hope. Like, as cheesy as it sounds, one of the best songs to come out, I think, in 2019 is from Frozen 2. Anna sings it, and it's called The Next Right Thing. If you haven't heard it, listen to it. And when all is gone, she's literally like in a dark room, and she just is saying, I don't know what to do next, so I'm just going to do the next right thing. So even if that's all you do, if you just baby steps, the next right thing, it will eventually lead you to the light.
Well, and also, I understand what you're saying about using the character as a guiding principle, because I wrote something kind of like that in my book like a long time ago, which was, you know, it's like when you're playing D&D, you pick your character, and your character has a very simple axis of alignment. It's like, you know, morally what they're going to do in all situations, and ethically what they're going to do in all situations. And the simplification of that just takes all the complex, like all the stuff where you could really get in your own way, it takes a lot of that out, because you go, oh, well, I know exactly what this character's going to do because they have a very simple two-step way of approaching situations. Obviously, life is more complicated than that. However, at least it gets you on the path of asking the right questions when you feel overwhelmed. Oh, well, what would this character do who has a much simple, because it's a character in a story and needs to be simplified in a way that people can understand in context of a story. What would they do? That's not a terrible thing to do at all, because it helps people kind of take a lot of the garbage out and simplify and go, oh, well, they might do this. Well, I guess that means I could make this choice or this choice. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to me, all the sense in the world to me. And also why fandom is so important. Yes. Is legitimately important, because it is about aspirations and hopes and characters that we feel connected to. And yeah, I don't think anyone should feel silly saying, you know, like, what would this character do? Maybe not a Voldemort type, but, you know, like, but characters that tend to prevail with hope and positivity and things like that, because at least it can get you asking some of the better questions.
Yeah.
Of yourself.
I completely agree. Completely agree. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier. At the end of the day, if we listen to it, your gut is going to tell you what to do, the right from wrong. And it's actually pretty simple.
Well, it's just so easy to, it can get clouded with insecurity or clouded with, like, if we had bad role models in our immediate life that told us that we were dumb or that we don't know what we're talking about. Of course, you know, it can you question a lot of those things. But again, this is why I go back to like mental health. When you can deal with that stuff and unpack that stuff, you know, EMDR is a pretty wonderful form of therapy that can help sort of like you can work on, you know, trauma from early in your life. Then when you sort of get a lot of that stuff out of the way, you do tend to feel more of your gut, your more authentic self. Oh, okay. I feel more confident. I feel more comfortable. I feel more, you know, but again, it is working through a lot of that stuff. I can't help
it. You're exactly right.
Do you know Danica McKellar? Have you ever met Danica?
we have met once or twice. And she, I am like such a fangirl of hers.
She is also a beam of sunshine that I feel like, I just feel like you guys would be friends. Cause Danica also, if you follow her on social media, she has the same mission of just like, I want people to feel supported. I do these McKellar Motivational Monday things. I do fitness stuff. I like, she'll just post stuff and just go, hey, you, I hope you're having a nice day. And it's like, God, I really needed that. You know, like it just, I feel like you're cut from similar cloth in that way and could probably get up to some good stuff together. And also she's a fan of things. And I don't know, it just feels like maybe there's stuff that you guys could do together, because, you know, the more of these sort of positive voices that are coming together in a, you know, in a Justice League of health, maybe, you know, like the better, I guess. I don't know. That's why I thought you guys might've known each other.
Oh yeah. No, we've met and I'm a huge fan of hers, and that would be awesome if ever got to teamed up with her.
I might need to be a connector in this place.
Set us up on a blind friendship date.
Yeah. A blind friendship Zoom right now. But is there anything else that you want to talk about or promote or mention or anything? Is her universe, are you actively putting out stuff right now with Hot Topic, or what's the situation?
Yes. So, you know, heruniverse.com is still our website, and we actually just released a really cool collection for Black Widow, and we have a collection for the Clone Wars.
Great.
So, and you know, the final season of Clone Wars is now on Disney Plus, and it's pretty epic. It's, in my opinion, it ranks up there as some of the best Star Wars that's ever been made. It's the Siege of Mandalore is the finale, and you'll, you know, see Order 66 go down, and it's pretty epic.
Well, I have always appreciated your friendship, and I appreciate that you are able to take what could, you know, what someone else could have been like, I got a basket of rotten lemons, oh well, and really turn it into something special and magical for other people. And I really, I've even used your emails that you just send out to the Her Universe email list of like, this is how, this is what it's about. This is
community.
You can feel at the soul of Ashley in this, and, but also like the fans of it too. Like if companies should hire you as a consultant to come in and go, here's how we make this about humans and not about, you know, dollars first, or not about commerce first, but about humans first, and really connect and build out a community. People should hire you just to say like, hey, just be a person. Care about people. Why don't you?
Well, thank you so much. You're very kind, but I will say you have been a huge part of my journey, and I haven't had the chance to thank you often. So I'll take this chance on your podcast to thank you, because you helping me out and believing in me from the beginning made all the difference in the world. And from the bottom of my heart, I can't thank you enough.
Somewhere I have a picture of us in like in Tauntaun sleeping bags, which I think was...
Yes.
For part of Course of the Force. It must have been. Yeah, because Think Geek had just made those. I think that was an April Fool's joke that they were going to make Tauntaun sleeping bags. And people were like, no, you need to make these. And they go, okay. And they did. Another fun company, you know, by Nerds for Nerds from back in the day. And I have a picture of us where it looks like the Tauntaun's arms are our arms.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to dig that up and send it to you.
That would be awesome. I remember that photo. I mean, our fandom takes us in crazy places, or I guess I should say our jobs. So we found ourselves, I think, on the Santa Monica Pier, or no. It was one of the piers. It wasn't Santa Monica, but it was one of the piers at like 7 a.m. in the morning, laying in Tauntaun sleeping bags. Like,
it was like Long Beach or something. I think it was.
Yes, yeah.
It was kind of into it. Yeah, because the lightsaber ran all the way.
It was.
Yeah.
There's a random pier along the coast.
Yep. And I remember that moment of just being like, we get to do this. This is crazy that we get to do this. How did this happen? This is magic, you know?
Yeah.
And again, all of those things, us getting to that place wouldn't have happened if we hadn't been in situations that we had to like rethink things, ask better questions, overcome stuff. And then again, you know, do stuff for ourselves, be who we are. So that's what I hope people take away from this podcast as we are spending more epic amounts of time with ourselves than any time in recent memory that I can think of.
Yes.
But is your are the Instagram videos nightly? Are you doing those every night or most?
I would say a couple throughout the week, definitely every Monday. And then a couple throughout the week. And it's just on at Ashley X Stein on Instagram. And, and yeah, some of them are serious, some of them are silly, but at least it's real and genuine. And, you know, I often say this, I'll leave you with this. One of the best pieces of advice a manager once gave me, she said, "Your mind is like a dangerous neighborhood at night. Don't walk in it alone." And right now, you know, when all we really have, like you said, is to sit at home and kind of walk in our own minds, you know, come join the conversation and get out of, you know, your own mind. And because it helps, have somebody hold your hand, because it's a dangerous place if you're by yourself.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley. I appreciate you. And it was really nice catching up with you.
You too. Thank you.
Let's catch up again soon. Not on a podcast.
Yes.
I'll text you right now.
Awesome. And yeah, I'd look forward to staying in touch. And if there's, let me know when you're in Orlando. Would love to meet up with you guys.
I will. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, right. Chris.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.